Merry Christmas. Good to be together again, and we're going to be in Matthew 25, the parable of 10 virgins, 5 wise and 5 foolish. Let's read the passage and then we'll pray. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were wise took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "No, lest there be none or not enough, there should not be enough for us and you. But go to those who sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came on, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you neither know the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for another day that we gather in your name, O God. It's you, having been crucified on the cross, gathered us to yourself, those you have redeemed from across the world, O God. Thank you so much for your coming, for your first and second coming, Lord. And as we think about events around Christmas, Lord, your birth, we also want to be reminded of your second coming, which is really soon. And Lord, we want to be ready all the time. We want to be those who are filled, empowered, and guided by your Spirit. The difference between the wise and the foolish was your Spirit. And I pray, Lord, that daily we may hunger and thirst, and that you may fill us and empower us with your Spirit. And as we learn from your word today, Jesus, may we see you, may you see your face afresh. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's a parable of a wedding setting, an ancient Jewish wedding setting. And just like it is in most African cultures, I think, in the weddings, a marriage is a process. It takes like 2 years. Like you find a girl and, you know, there is dating, and then you take her home, and then she takes you home, and then you do all these ceremonies, and eventually a wedding. And, you know, weddings were a huge celebration in Jesus' day. I'm told wedding celebrations would happen almost for 7 days. You think you celebrate weddings? They did 7 days, or probably more. I'm told in Congo, they start a day before. So there's kind of a pre-wedding party. And then on the day of the wedding, there's a party, like a wedding celebration. And then the day after, like an after party. So in the typical Asian Jewish culture, there was this engagement. And this was arranged, you know, the parents of the, you know, would-be groom and bride actually matched their kids early. And when they were of age, they met again and said, "All right, now they're grown up. How much do you want for your daughter? What do we do to get your daughter for our son?" And, you know, they would arrange the paying of dowry. However, at that time, the groom would not take the bride with him. That was just the beginning. Now, at the time also, the couple was as good as married. After the betrothal, you wouldn't change your mind. In fact, anything about changing your mind had to have a very good reason. And if you did for no good reason, you're actually a community outcast. You asked to leave the village. You go. You do not ask somebody to marry and then you change your mind about it. So you go. You go find another village. So between the time that the parents settle the requirement for the wedding is an unspecified period of time. And ideally, they promise the bride, we will come and pick you up anytime. The father to the groom would then return, and the son, the groom, would prepare a home to bring his bride under the complete supervision of the father. And as soon as the father said, I think this room or this house is ready for your bride, you go, let's go pick her up. Now, on the other side, I don't know whether it's easy on the groom's side or easier on the bride's side, the waiting or, you know, the waiting for an approval from the father. But on the bride's side is all excitement. You can tell 10, that's quite a huge wedding party. They are literally having to keep their lanterns, their olive lanterns, fueled, because the bride could be picked in the middle of the day, in the evening, at midnight, at 3 a.m., anytime. The bride was obviously surrounded with girls, and they do their girl things, you know, the makeups and the beauty treatments. And I was told of this bride on the wedding morning. She wanted to change her mind. She started crying and said, you know, I'm not ready for this. She wept and wept, and they called her dad in, and her dad said, are you sure you're not ready for this? And the dad told her that, ready or not, we're taking you, we're giving you away. She literally wept all the way to church. She cried through the wedding service. By the evening reception, she was all smiles. So for the girls, I think it's a mix of emotions, you know, leaving your family and then getting to a very uncharted territory. But it's all excitement. The dresses, the shoes. You can tell on a wedding day how so many people walk with difficulty because they buy this pair of shoes and they don't ever wear it except on the wedding day. I was a best man recently, and this guy turned to me and said, my shoes. Should have tried them on at least for a week. So more than the shoes, the makeup, the dresses, the groom could come pick the bride anytime, and they had to be ready. The dresses had to be ready. The lamps, in case the groom came at night, have to be fueled. And this is the setting here. And when the groom was given permission to go pick his bride, the guys went along on horses or donkeys, whatever it is that they used, and a shout, we are going to pick the bride. The whole village had to wake up. If it was midnight, hey, everybody wake up, we go pick our bride. And everybody had to wake up and go. And there's this procession in the middle of the night with lights. And we read here that they had a shout, the groom is coming. And while the groom delayed, obviously, they slept. But even in sleeping, some were ready, some were out of fuel. The groom is coming. They get up, they're trying to light their lamps. I don't know if you still use those paraffin lamps. After a while, the wick has to be trimmed and pushed up and then, you know, made fresher so it can give better light. The foolish ones realized that they didn't have enough oil for the night. Would you please give us some oil? They say to those who had prepared, the wise. No. Do you think that was very mean of the wise ones? Shouldn't they have shared? Well, you go buy yourself some oil. I'm sure you'll go to the shops and knock on the shopkeeper's doors and they'll sell you some. By the time they came to the wedding, the groom, the bride, gone, the door shut. And that's the very picture of our relationship with Jesus Christ. He is the groom. We are the bride. And he said that, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and I'll be coming for you. He didn't tell us when. Day and night, it could be today, it could be tomorrow, it could be at midnight, at 3, at 5, anytime. And the difference between the wise and the foolish was keeping oil in the lamps. Their readiness was demonstrated by having enough fuel to run them through the night. And oil is symbolic of the Holy Spirit in scriptures. And one author said that oil rightly represents the Holy Spirit for many reasons. Oil lubricates. Oil removes every friction. And even among us, the presence of the Holy Spirit removes every friction. Oil heals. Oil is medicine, especially olive oil and some other oils. And the Spirit of God brings healing. Oil is a fuel. It lights, produces light and heat. And God's Spirit lights our way and gives us warmth through this journey. Oil is often used to massage, and it just relaxes or refreshes our muscles. Anybody enjoys a massage? There's a little bit of massage cream in there, some oil that is used. And the Holy Spirit gives us refreshment every day. We get thirsty and tired, and our muscles wear, and we need that refreshing Spirit in us. Oil adorns. Oil is used as perfume. I went to a certain conference, and this speaker said that he has a weakness. He's a man. It was a men's conference, and said, I just love perfume. Is it a weakness for men to be in love with perfume? Or is it a girl thing? Well, some perfumes would make you really sneeze. But oil is used as perfume to make us smell good, smell pleasant around. And the presence of the Spirit makes us pleasant to be around. Do you know anybody who is just so unpleasant to be around? Like you just don't want to be near them. Maybe they need a filling of the Spirit. Oil is also used to polish metal, give it a shine, or actually remove any rust and grime. But more than the illustrations there, the Holy Spirit is our guide. He's our teacher. He's our comforter. He is our power. The Holy Spirit is a person. A person we spend time with. A person who guides us. You're standing there and you're at a crossroad and you don't know where to go. And the Spirit comes and says, let's walk together. I'm going to show you the way. He's a teacher. We open up scriptures as we are doing right now. And we're able to learn. In fact, some scriptures that we haven't understood in a while eventually becomes clear to us. He is that teacher that is with us all the time. He is a comforter. And when Jesus was living as our groom, he did not leave us alone, he said. And I would encourage you to read John chapter 14, 15, and 16. I'm not leaving you alone. I'm not leaving you in the cold. I'm not leaving in the rain. I'm giving you a guide, a teacher, a comforter, and one who is going to empower you, we see this in Acts, to be my representatives here. In Judges chapter 6, verse 34, it said of Gideon, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. This was an ordinary man going around his business, not paying attention to what God wanted to do. He was also a victim of plunder. The Philistines and all the other neighbors were literally plundering them, taking all their food. They would grow their food, and then the other lazy neighbors said, "Oh, that's good, you're growing food." At harvest time, they came and stole it. In Judges chapter 11, verse 29, Jephthah, an ordinary man, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and the Spirit was coming to empower them for war. Judges chapter 14, the Spirit came upon him mightily, referring to David. And in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 13, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward when Samuel the prophet went to anoint him. This oil that went down from his head into his clothes was literally the Spirit of the Lord coming upon him, and the Spirit was with him from that day forward. There was no way David or Jephthah or Samson or Gideon were going to accomplish all that God wanted them to do without the power of the Spirit of God. Then there is a sad story in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 14. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and a distressing spirit from the Lord troubled him. So we have very many stories of God's Spirit coming upon men and women and empowering them to accomplish so much. And such was Saul too, when God allowed him to be king. But we know the story. Saul was disobedient. He would not listen to the Lord. He would not listen to God's word and his messages through the prophet Sam. And it was a sad day when God said, because you won't listen to me, because you won't pay attention to me, I'm also leaving you alone. Any one of us want such an experience? You want to be foolish to say no to God? And you want to hear those words from God? I'm sorry, I have to leave. You literally have asked me to leave, so I will leave. In Joel chapter 2, verse 16, the prophet made an announcement. He said, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and nursing babes. Let the bridegroom go out from his chamber and the bride from her dressing room. Again, another setting of a wedding. And the prophet is announcing to the nation of Israel, your people need to be ready for the return of God. You need to be ready for a party. You need to gather together. Gather your children. The groom is coming out of his chamber, and you, the bride, really have to be ready. And when Jesus was teaching this parable to his listeners, they were familiar with this analogy. They had heard those cries before from many prophets. They knew the power and the difference the Spirit of God makes among his people. And we also do. What can we accomplish without the power of God's Spirit in us, without his guidance and wisdom and teaching? All will be are disillusioned Christians. I don't know if you've been familiar with those who want to demonstrate how spiritual they are. Like, okay, now the Spirit of God has come. Shh. They change their tone. Like they're talking normal, and then I can't even demonstrate. And they're thinking, yeah, that's the Spirit of God. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 to 21, do not be given to wine, do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, it just causes a lot of trouble, but be filled with the Spirit. And this is what it means to be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns, singing spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God, the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. It is worship. It is singing from our hearts. It is giving thanks. It is submission to God, submission to one another. It is paying attention to God. It has nothing with shh, psst, be silent. And there are those who say, don't distract the spirit. You think God can be distracted? Really? We can be distracted, right? You think God can be distracted? No. But the presence and the feeling and the empowering of the Spirit literally leads us to sing, to worship. Leads us to give thanks to Him. Leads us to submit to Him, obey Him, to yield to Him. He says, keep going, we keep going. One preacher said that, I believe firmly that the moment our hearts are emptied of pride and selfishness and ambition and everything that is contrary to God's law, the Holy Spirit will fill every corner of our hearts. But if we are full of pride and conceit and ambition and the world, there's no room for the Spirit of God. We must be emptied before we can be filled. And that emptiness is really admitting that you need Him. I need you to guide me right now. I need you to give me power to go through this season. I need you to help me rejoice. I need your strength. I need some refreshment. I'm discouraged. I'm down and low. Or maybe I'm really super high. I need to tone down. You know, there are people who can get very excited that they become a menace. Maybe you need to be saying, God, I'm being a menace here. I need to lower down my energy levels. It's first of all an admission that you need Him. God, I am really in need of you, everything about you. But also allowing Him to empty you of all the stuff that need to leave. All the room that is occupied by lots of other things, He wants to first remove and fill you with the Spirit. Are there things that we are holding on to? Are there things that are occupying our lives? And we know for sure they are completely filling up the space that the Spirit needs to take up. Christmas is exciting. It's full of, rejoicing and partying, pretty much like a wedding. Decorations and journeys and holidays. Leave, rest, food. But as we go through this Christmas season, you know, the first Advent happened. Jesus came. He was born. We're just going to celebrate that. But a better reality is He is coming to pick us up. And will He find us filled up, fired up? We use that word, on fire for God. Will He find us lit up for Him? Empowered. Listening. We saw the previous parable. Will He find faith? Will He find us still believing, still trusting, still holding on to Him? One author said, may not a single moment of my life be spent outside the light, the love, and the joy of God's presence, and not a moment without the entire surrender of myself as a vessel for Him to fill, full of His Spirit and His love. May not a single day pass when we are empty and void. And yet, His Spirit is available in abundance. Now, for the other foolish virgins, obviously they needed to run somewhere and find some oil. The oil of God's Spirit is completely free. Now, obviously, you know there are some who are selling, right? Spiritual merchandise, right? It's like this hanky has the Spirit of God. You know, these beads have the Spirit of God kind of a thing. This cross with a golden spray has the Spirit of God. And people buy these things like it's real. We don't have to buy the filling of His Spirit. It's completely free. All you have to do is ask. All we have to do is ask, and not just ask, yield. What is He saying to you? Because when the Spirit comes upon us, you know, He's going to lead us and guide us. We can do the first part, God, please fill us, and then He does, and the Spirit says, all right, now let's keep walking, and you're thinking, no, I want to stay right here. And you disobey. Pretty much like King Saul, and until the Spirit says, you know what, you are such a difficult, stiff-necked person to guide, so you find your own way, I'm done, I'm gone. Let not a single day pass without us asking Him to fill us with His Spirit, and us yielding to the guidance of His Spirit. You ask for the Spirit, He's obviously going to say yes. I'm going to give you my Spirit in full measure. God is not going to say no to us when we ask Him to fill us with His Spirit. Never. However, when He fills us with His Spirit, we can easily be like Saul, who constantly says no to God. You know, listening is hard. Hearing very easy, listening is hard. And think about all the decisions maybe that we have made, that you have made, and you knew God was telling you something completely different. But you went the other way. You didn't yield. We didn't yield. Well, we don't have to look back with misery, but we can look forward with hope. We learn that, you know what, when I hear that voice, I'm going to do whatever He says. Because the other time I went the other way, a contrary direction, and it was a loss. May our minds, our thinking, our speech, our acting, our conduct, our everything be influenced, be guided by His Spirit. I mean, think about the week that was past. What are the things that we could have done better if we had yielded to God's Spirit? Maybe handling a conflict. Maybe in a conflict or thinking, yeah, I didn't handle that well. Maybe a complaint. Maybe a disgruntled person in front of you. Maybe a confrontation. Somebody did confront you and you didn't take it well. Let's think about how we can correct that. We can yield to His Spirit, and the next time we are faced with a similar situation, we know the wise decision to make. Now, all of us, I'm sure, can testify that we have been foolish. Anyone? I've been foolish. But we have an opportunity to be wise. And the difference between wisdom and foolishness is God's Spirit in this passage. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. That should be our experience. And Paul says, we all, with unveiled faces, when you're going to look yourself in a mirror, do you veil your face? You open it up. I want to see how my hair looks like. How shiny my nose is. And we look in the mirror. And we want to see Jesus in there. That's what he's saying. We don't want to see ourselves because we don't really look good, do we? Any one of us looks at themselves in the mirror and go, wow, what a beautiful girl. What a handsome dude. Look at his six-pack. There's a song in the 90s. It had this line. Do not spend a lot of time reading beauty magazines because all they'll do is make you feel ugly. That's what mirrors do, right? You want to look yourself in the mirror and you're like, yeah, I want to really look good. And look at it and you're like, whoa, look at my beard. It used to be black. Now they call me Muzee. Like, Muzee, okay? And they're like, I'm not a Muzee, you know? But we look at ourselves in the mirror. We want to see Jesus. We don't want to see any of ourselves. And Paul says that we are being transformed into his image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of God makes a difference. He makes us look like Jesus. He makes us act like Jesus. You know, the Father sent the Son sends us the Spirit. And the Spirit helps us look like the Father and the Son. We don't have to say to somebody else, can I have a flow of the Spirit that you have? Can I have some oil that you have? Now we know that some people cause others to think like that. Like if you come to my prophetic service, you come from anointed service, my apostolic service, you're going to invoke the Spirit of God that is upon me. You've heard that. Like, I'm the only one in this room who is full of the Spirit. And if you keep coming, it's just going to like spark into you. So you keep coming. And people are meant to believe that. That, oh, I can depend on the, they call it anointing, right? They use all these words that mean, you know, the same thing, filling or empowering. You come and you're going to go through the anointing that I've gone through. It's not like the foolish virgins telling the wise that, hey, give us some oil of yours. You know the answer? You have to find your oil. We can encourage one another. We can give each other warmth on this journey. But each one of us has to have a direct link with God, with Jesus, with the Father, with the Spirit. You're not going to depend on your brother or sister so that, you know, they're the ones to go to God and then they get this bucket of oil from Israel. And then they come back to Uganda and they sell it to you. Or they give it to you. No. We have to build that connection. We have to ask for ourselves. And we have to yield ourselves. We have to say, God, I'm really thirsty, I'm hungry, I'm empty. I need this darkness out of my life. I need this out of my life. Please fill me. I'm going to listen to you. And flow through me until I'm overflowing. In Revelation chapter 22, verse 17. The Spirit and the Bride say, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts, come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. An open invitation. Come, come, come. Another passage in Matthew, he asked a rhetorical question. Who among you? You have a son. He asked for bread and you gave them a stone. Who among you? Your son or daughter asks you for fish and you give him a snake. Well, you can do that to prank them. We have some round stones that really look like bread, right? And you can give your toddler to chew on. But you're not going to say, all right, he's a stone. You ask for bread, he's a stone. You ask for fish, he's a snake. And he says, how much more shall God, who is way more than you can compare to yourself, give you the Spirit for those, to those rather, who ask? And if we go to God in prayer and we ask for something and he said no, you know what we should do? You'll tell him, God, I know you're not going to say no to this one. Just give me your Spirit. Good asking. Have as much as you can. make sure you listen. And wisdom is an active word that indicates a positive response to his influence. Foolishness, obviously, a negative or completely blocked response to his speech. I'm feeling you, and that makes a difference. And you can tell somebody is really under the influence of the Spirit of God, right? God literally flows through them. And we know that the fruits, you see love flowing through them. You see joy flowing through them. We see patience flowing through them. Gentleness, mercy, compassion, everything's flowing through them. However, think about somebody and it's just anger flowing through them. That's not of the Spirit, is it? And it's selfishness flowing through them. That's not of the Spirit. And it's greed flowing through them. That's not of the Spirit. And you can assess yourself. What is flowing through me? All right, God has empowered us. We have prayed and he said, yes, I will fill you. I'll empower you. I'll guide you. What is flowing through you? A stench or an aroma? Supernatural power or nothing at all? And you can read through scriptures and see the difference the Holy Spirit makes in ordinary people like you and I. Everything becomes supernatural. Everything. The weak become strong. The lost are found. The broken are mended. Those who are low are encouraged and revived and refreshed. Those who are sad are full of joy. Those who are in grief rejoice. Those who are in sin turn to the Lord. They find salvation. And that's the experience that we want. As we know Jesus' return is soon, we want to be completely given to his Spirit. We want to be completely under his supernatural power. I used to sing this song when I was a child in the 90s. Well, in the 80s, I think. Now you're calculating my age, right? You know this song, "Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Keep me burning till the break of day." Amen. May God fill us with his Spirit and keep us burning until he returns. Let's stand and pray. We're going to pray that God fills us with his Spirit, and he's obviously going to say yes. Lord, we can all say we are empty and thirsty and hungry. And we gather here to be refreshed by you. We can all say that we go through different levels of strains and stresses and pains and griefs and lows. Thankful we have somewhere to run. We can run to your fountain and drink and be refreshed and satisfied and empowered. And we can drink all the time. We don't even have to come just once or twice. We can stay and be drinking all day. So Lord, fill us with your Spirit. Fill us with your oil. Anoint us with your oil of gladness, the oil of power, your oil of healing, your oil of refreshment, your oil of sweet-smelling aroma, your oil of influence, O God. Empower us, Jesus, for all that you're doing through us and among us. May you pour down your oil of healing, your oil of encouragement, your oil of wisdom, your oil of strength, your oil of mercy and compassion and love and kindness and gentleness and self-control. As we constantly look in mirrors, Lord, we want to see you. We don't want to see ourselves. We know how we look like. We want to see you. And as you fill us, oh Lord, may we listen. May we yield. May we obey. May we be ready for your return. In Jesus' name, amen.